Last Sunday, okay, I started a new series, and it's a series on stewardship, and it's also in a way, like every November, we try to do a series that we talk about money, all right? I think one of the phrases that y'all hear me saying that it's about money, but then it's not about money right now. So the title of this series is called The Ability to Produce Wealth. Say with me, ability. Say produce. Okay, everybody wants ability, everybody wants power. And you think about money, that becomes your motivation, all right? Now, but then again, it's not about the money, all right? Because if our focus is just about money, money come and money go. How many of you knows that money has wings? Okay, it fly, you know, if money come easy, you also go. Some of us, we grew up in a hard life, you know, to earn a ringgit is so difficult. Okay, especially if you come from a family that is money not enough. Okay, maybe if you do the series called Money Not Enough series, all right? Now, then every single cent that come by your life, wow, is so precious, all right? Now, so with that, we also need to change our mindset, all right? We cannot live in a poverty mindset. Now, as we look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, last week we started, and this is a covenant provision, okay, of God. Now, this phrase, the ability to produce wealth, is not from me, it's from a phrase, okay, from the Bible, which is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Chinese people all like fat, yat fat. Yat, yat fat. Okay, people like, okay, now. So he says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirm His covenant, which He swore to your ancestor as it is today. All right. Now, when you think about that, it's not that they are poor. Do you know? Can you get it? So they already have produced wealth. They already come to a place where they have lots, okay, of wealth in their life. You want a cow, is there, all right? You want a horse, is there. You want chicken, is there. Everything is there, all right? Because they have come to a place that they are so rich. But now, Moses is writing to remind them, hello, hello, remember. Remember, it's the Lord, okay, that gives you the ability to produce wealth. Okay, so this truth that they have for a long time, sometimes for us who come to know the Lord, we may not have this in mind, friends. God has given us the ability, okay, to produce wealth. When you tap on that, wow, okay, you can venture in things that, wow, it's just amazing. Ideas, creative ideas, innovation, things that you want to do in life. But again, it's not about that, but it's about, okay, how, okay, you honor God and how you see God, okay, raise you in all those. So that we explore, okay, Deuteronomy 8, that is to discover why God said that in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Why God said that it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And good amen. All right, so in this four-part series that I started last Sunday, first one we talk about obey. Today I'm going to talk remember. Okay, so that's where we tackle about why. Why God say that? Okay, that's given you the ability, okay, to produce wealth. Next week, okay, trust. I know that next weekend will be probably many. I don't know how many of you are traveling to go back to your hometown. I know Chiwe, yes. He can see the burden, okay, that's spring. Oh, yes. The rest all still say you all not going back to hometown except three of you. No, yes. Oh, all here, voting here. Okay, praise the Lord. Majula, okay, Pulau Pinang. Okay, now. So with that, the church obey. So that's a recap. So I talk about what to obey. It's a whole commandment, not 50, not one. All right? So I don't know how you feel, but it's all, okay? All, not nine, okay? Not one, but it's whole. How to obey? Be careful, okay, to obey every single one of them, okay? What's the outcome? You will live and multiply. And what's the purpose? The whole idea of God blessing us, the whole idea that we can produce wealth, okay, that is go in and possess the land. So which means, I'm saying that with that thing, we have a focus, we have a reason, okay, to live. That's a land, okay, that we need to venture in. There's a people group, okay, that we need to reach, all right? Now, so with that, I give you this quote that is our motivation to obey. To obey God must come from our deep love for God and not from anything else. Because at the end of the day, okay, it's not about the reward. Okay, it's not about the blessing. Okay, otherwise we're only chasing the blessing and not recognizing the blesser. Okay, otherwise if you are sick, we're only chasing for the healing and not forgetting the healer. All right, so we got to know, okay, who do we have? Okay, who do we serve? So whether you serve God or is it not? Okay, is it because you love God or not? How many of us realize that whatever you do does not increase God's love? God already loved you when He died on the cross. He already stretched His hand. How much? Okay, He already stretched His hand. Okay, give His whole blood. Okay, to shed. Okay, for us, for the forgiveness of our sin. All right. So when we serve God, okay, it got to come out from our very heart. So that is where obedience, okay, brings blessing. So if you read Exodus, you will read Deuteronomy. Okay, when you come to the Ten Commandments, you read about the blessing and curses. Wow, every obedience will bring blessing. Okay, good. Amen. All right. So today, as we talk about part two, question: who has the best memory here? Who can remember the first? You're pointing at me. Okay, now who can remember? Okay, now the day, the first Sunday service we have. Who remember the first Sunday that we came here? Okay, so I don't know. Okay, who has the best memory? My mom has come to a place where she always said that, oh, I cannot remember this. So sometimes I just joke with her, do you know my name? He said, of course I know your name, you my son. Okay, so your memory is intact. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, now. So a lot of things, talking about memory, maybe we may not remember much. Until when you friends gather together and you talk about, wow, 20 years ago, wow, when we were all in Pulau Bangkok, oh, we are all in this place called Pulau Redang or something like that, okay, then you spark off, then something you talk about, oh, this teacher that came to school and was wearing a yellow socks, okay, I don't know. So then you recall, spark your memory, okay, of things that happened, okay, in your life and your friends or your family. So instead of remember, probably we forget a lot of things. We forgot, okay, many things right now. How many of you forget more than remember? Today there's a lot, right? Simple one, like how many of you forgot your handphone? Oh no, my handphone left in a hawker center. Oh, my bunch of keys. Oh no, right? So when you get to the Penang Bridge and you realize, oh, my bunch of keys, and you're going to make the whole round coming back, okay, or wallet or something like that. Sometimes some of you may be already in office and you about to drink your coffee and then you remember, oh no, I didn't turn it off. And you got to get an excuse to quickly run back to your house to off. You know, there's one time I was during my break, okay, this is during USM days, during my break, okay. So during that break, I have no place to stay. So a lot of my friends already gone back home. So I tumpang, okay, I stay in one of their home. Take care of the house, but still got people staying, not many. But one morning, I heard a loud noise. Boom, like a bomb, like that. Boom! I was wondering, what was that, you know? So I came down, nothing, everything is quiet. I just keep observing, and then what was the sound came from? Then I saw the pot. The pot or burst. Because somebody boiled the water, I left home, right? So that thing exploded, the whole pot exploded, okay, it's just exploded, all right? Thank God, okay, that there's not another explosion. Then I saw that the gas was on, you know, so off it, okay, things like that. So, happens, all right? Now, any one of you, you're traveling, you're on a taxi, and you reach the airport, and you realize, oh, your passport is in the hotel, as it's in the safe box. It's so safe that, yeah, we have friends, okay, who have traveled, and then they realize that, oh no, okay, it's still there, all right now. This thing happened. Friends, when I talk about this, there are bigger things to remember, and not just about handphone, not just about keys, not about wallet, but there are bigger things, okay, that we need to remember. I hope you can relate this. So today, as we talk about part two, a chart to remember, we're going to look at verse 2 to 4 and then relate to the second part, which from verse 14, okay, to 16. Okay, what are verse 2 to 4? Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, 3. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep His commandment, all right, sorry, commandment or not, okay? And He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your food did not swell these 40 years. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we look at the second part, okay, of this series, looking at verse 2 to verse 4. Ask, Lord, help us, Lord, to remember your promises. Help us, Lord, to see that your goodness upon our life, okay, all these years in our life, sometimes we go through life, the most difficult moment of life, and yet, okay, sometimes we forget, but help us, Lord, to see your goodness and kindness upon our life. Father, I give thanks. Our Holy Spirit, teach us, guide us. In Jesus' name, everyone say, amen. Now, you will realize that this passage is about the wilderness experience, okay, of the children of Israel. All right, so we're going to unpack a bit of that and also bring back some of the memories that you have read, okay, in book of Exodus and all those, what has happened, okay, during, okay, their life. So at this point, if you hear me last Sunday, at this point when Moses was writing, a new generation has arose, okay, the young people that grew up during the 40 days, okay, they are about to enter the promised land, all right. So Moses is writing to remind them. So Deuteronomy, okay, means what? It's the second reading of the law. That's right. There's a law reminder, okay, in the book of Deuteronomy. All right. Now, with that, okay, Moses is writing to remind Israelites, okay, the children of Israel, the covenant promise, which is the provision, okay, of their God, okay, Jehovah. Now, with that, allow me to say again, God has given this promise to Abraham long time ago. So as you, I encourage you to read, right, this month, the book of Deuteronomy. Have you all started reading? Yes, start reading. Okay, all right. No. So, okay, now, tell your neighbor, I'm right. This is the second reading. You should read it. It's more refined, really. It's more refined and you're able to recall, okay, all the earliest four books. All right, now. So, the central theme, one of the central themes of the book of Deuteronomy is the call to remember who God is and his covenant provision, okay, and what he has done. Okay, now, so when you read this, it's talking about the 40 years, okay, that they have gone through, and they're going to step into the promised land. So today, what are we to remember? Okay, three things I want to talk about, three areas. What are we to remember? Okay, the first one, we got to remember that the Lord is leading you. Who's leading your life? God, okay, praise God. Maybe some of you say, my wife, okay. Who's the boss? My wife. Okay, now. Who is God? Your wife. Okay, now. You got to know that, remember that the Lord is leading you. Why I say so? Because in verse 2, it says, Moses was writing, you shall remember the whole way, you know, the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years. So sometimes you probably need to come to a place, wow, do some reflection. How old are you now? Are you 40 years old? Okay. Look back. Well, how your life has been. Ups and down. At your worst scenario of your life. Who's leading you? Sometimes we don't see God. But when you reflect back, wow, God is there. Okay, for you and I. If I can unpack some of our stories, okay, I'll share again. All right, now. So you can imagine these 40 years. God, Jehovah, has been leading them. A journey probably needed maybe 40 days, maybe 4 years, but it took them 40 years to complete that journey, okay, in the wilderness. God was preparing them. God is leading them. And that 40 years, imagine these children of Israel, they see the miracles and the wonders the world has not seen. I mean, in the desert, the pillar of cloud. I mean, these are all artists' paintings, right? So, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. How to produce this? It's only the act of God. This is now the act of God is always referred to the disaster. When you buy insurance, they will not cover your car, whatever. If it's the act of God, they're not going to cover, okay, insurance, right? So, this is act of God. The faith that they have, you know, how God loved them, how God led them, okay, by the day was a cloud, okay, to direct them, protect them from the heat, okay, and all those night. No TNB, my friend. So this is powerful. God gave them, okay, the pillar of fire. So with that, whenever this pillar of cloud or fire move, they must unpack and move, all right? So that is amazing sight, okay? In the desert, it's just spectacular and all those, okay? You don't have to pay money to go to Disneyland to see the lights, okay? Fireworks, okay? Or some lights fountain and all those. Wow, that was right there, spectacular. Friends, when God do that, you know who is watching? All the surrounding inhabitants. So to speak, it's all the enemies are watching. How dare they can come and attack, because God protected them and God is leading them. God is their leader. All right. So sometimes you think about that when the cloud about to move. I just couldn't imagine how Moses communicate. He must have a superb chain of communication, okay, that relate, okay, to all or every one of them. How many of you realize how many people are there? 500,000? 2 million? Okay, 2 million. Okay, 2 million count. 2.1 million, anyone? Okay, so give you, okay, so these are people, this is all aunties' impression. Okay, I want to paint this. Okay, let's do that. Okay, now, Exodus chapter 12. Here has an account that says, and the people of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. So which means, if you have 600,000 men, and believing that each man has one wife, which is true because that is their law, okay, our law, all right, now, 600 men, so with one wife, and then you have, let's say, one child, so 600,000 times 3, you have at least 1.8 million. Moses is leading a 1.8 million people. Then they continue to say in verse 38, a mixed multitude also went up with them. So it's not just them. So there's a mix of multitude of not the children of Israel, but they follow because they believe this God Jehovah. Okay, they move with them. So at least there's more than 2 million people that Moses are leading. Can you imagine to communicate? We move now. I don't know, bell ring or whatever. All packed at the same time and then they move. And to transport people, okay, with that. Just imagine, sometimes Chinese New Year, some of those trips you go, you have 10 cars. Those days without Waze, without phone and all those, where everybody tail one another. How many of you remember those days when you tail and then they go and no highway and with all those, whoa, 2 cars way big behind and then everybody stop by the side to wait the other 2 cars. When they are visible, okay, they start moving again. This is 5 cars, 10 cars. This is more than 2 million people, my friend. More than 2 million people. Just imagine the mess, okay, that they have. No wonder when you read, you also recognize that there are tons of complaint and murmuring the people have. All right? Now, in reality, sometimes you look at your own family. How big is your family? Husband and wife, 2 kids, 4. Can you imagine so many complaints in a family? Okay, lah, add one more. Lah, you have 3 children. Wow, jialat. Children fight over one another. Boys fight. Girls also fight. 2 boys, 1 girl. Girl fight with the 2 brothers. Okay, so I don't know. So just a small family already fighting and complaining and murmuring and all those. All right, now, think about probably in reality, you also think about those leaders. Leaders, you are here. Your life group itself, 6, 8, 10 people. To get a date to meet is so difficult. True? So, plus your work stress, okay, your company and all those. I don't know what kind of stress, okay, that you're actually facing and all different level kind, and you think about Moses. So, each time I think of Moses, our stress level is actually very low. Okay, very low, very low. All right, now, so the people of Israel were known, okay, if you read, they are known of how they complain, how they murmur, okay, in the wilderness. And at the same time, they gang up, okay, against Moses. And needless to say, there's also an account in the Bible talks about the Korah, the rebellion of the Korah. Okay, they gather people like Dathan, Abiram, on. They gathered, Bible recorded, there are about 250 of them, they came against Moses. Cut the story short now, you read that in Numbers 16. God was with Moses, and because of rebellion, God opened up the ground and swallowed up all of them. All right, and Bible recorded that all in all, there were 14,700 people died in that plague. You know what Moses did? Moses told Aaron, go and get the censers. Go and get, come, intercede for them. They come against Moses, and yet Moses prayed for them, intercede for them, that no more people die. See, a heart Moses has had for the people, and then because they made that atonement, the plague was stopped. All right, so giving you the example that the generation, when Moses was writing this, he's seeing that the new generation has arose, and to remind them, okay, that it is God, okay, it's God who given them ability, okay, to produce wealth. So that's why when Moses was writing, that's why you understand, oh, why Moses was saying, carefully, okay, obey the whole commandment, okay, which also to remind them, okay, when you have so much. You know, sometimes, you know, our human nature, when you're so much, certain pride also increases, all right? And sometimes when you have all that you have, certain degree of disobedience also come in, because we will think human now, we will think that, hey, this is my own hands, my, I do, my, so nothing to do with God. We also can come to that place. So we got to be careful. That's what Moses was writing today. So it is careful to know or to, okay, to also reflect, how do we live our life okay, today. So when you look at the life of the Israelites, we are not that far, okay, away. How many of you remember BCDE, which was popularized, okay, by KC, right? So in life, you think about anything that in your life, are you live under BCDE? B for blaming others, C for complaining, D for denying, correct? E for excusing. You can continue, you know? F for fuming, you angry. G for grudging, A, B, C, D, right? G, H for hating, I for ignoring. So many things. No end one. If you want to live a life like that, it's all the alphabetical order you can think of. Okay, but let's remember, we didn't say the A. A, you got to put to action. You put action, then all the rest, okay, will gone, right? So with all that's taking place, please know that in all that, in the life of the Israelites, God is still there to lead them. Good, amen. All right, now, so let's look at the other part of Deuteronomy chapter 8 that corresponds to that. In verse 14, it says, then your heart will be lifted up, okay, where you forget. That means they come to a place that they have so much, they forget God, okay, the pride, okay, that creeps in. You forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the slavery, house of slavery, who led you. So Moses keep on reminding them, it is God who led you, all right, through the great and terrifying wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground. I don't know how many of you have been to wilderness, okay? Been to wilderness, every one of us has different definition. Let's say you go to, here we don't have desert. Maybe you go to the woods, go to jungle. Many of us here like hiking, all right? You come place that during pandemic cannot run in the padang, but many people go to the hiking, so you cannot be seen until there was an order saying that you cannot even hike. Okay, it's all being blocked. My boys like hiking, all right, so now they are in Australia. Some of his job, my elder son, some of his job is paid to hike because they need to assess, okay, the government's property and all those. So he's paid to wear shorts, wear hiking shoes, and go hiking. Every day go hiking, you know. Okay, so you got to take photo, you got to do recording and all those. So interesting. I said, what's the difference? The hiking there, hiking here, was scenery is superb. I said, what else? He said, the animal is different. Here, maybe we go monitor lizard, monkey, all right. So he see war rabbits, he see scorpions, okay, see kangaroo, okay, he see, I don't know, he say the animals are different, birds, okay, different and all those, all right, so, friends, so when we look at that, okay, it's God who led you for them terrifying wilderness, you don't know what is there, okay, fiery serpents and scorpions, and where got water, where got, you can turn on the tap and you have fresh water, friends, when you go to visit some of this desert, that's it, we were in the Holy Land. We went to one, forgotten the name. Okay, so we went, so the tour guide said, tell me, make a rough guess, how they can have the water to come in? Because they also show us the place where the king will take bathroom, okay? They call it chamber, okay? Now, how the water comes in? Oh, in the desert, how? So it's just unimaginable how water can flow in, all right? So they have all this innovation that they have, all right? So here is where, when you read this, Moses again saying that this is a warning, okay? Warning of the pride that you have when you forget what God has done, okay, for you. When you have everything, tendency is that we forget, lah. We forget how we begin, lah. Forget liao, right? Forget how we begin. So friends, we all that even they forget, the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud is still there. Even they disobey, God is still leading them. All right? It's not that, oh, you're like that. I don't give you the light. I don't give you the cloud. God is still leading them. Okay? They are, whether they are lost, unbelief, disobey. These 40 years, Moses said, these 40 years, God is leading us. All right? So for us, probably some of the question, okay, that I've also mentioned just now is, think about, reflect how God has led you that thus far. Or you have gone on your own way. Are you able to see that God is leading you when you are lost? Men are like that, when you are lost. When, how many of you, when you go travel, you are lost. No line, no GPS, no ways. You are lost, no internet, okay? Or those things without. We will just continue and drive. Can one, go drive. Then your wife say, stop lah, ask somebody. I'll stop lah, ask somebody. Well, very clever. No, I know. Then they go 1 hour, 2 hours, and you don't know where you are. Men are like that, all right? Now, friends, God never failed us, and He's still leading us. You know, sometimes some of the songs that I've written, so don't say that God has never failed me yet. As though you're waiting for God to fail you. Friends, okay, we are the one who fail God, not God fail us, all right? So remember, God is leading us. Number two, well, time is going so fast. Okay, now, remember that number two, the Lord is testing us. Right? God is testing each and every one of us. Okay, in continue that verse, that He may humble you. So all this leading, all this testing, God is humbling us. Because Moses is writing, they have so much, you know, the pride that you can have. No enemy can touch you, you know. No sickness can come upon you. Oh, you are like invincible. So Moses is writing that God is leading you, God is testing you because He wants to see that we are humble in our heart. Okay, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandment or not. And He humbled you. So the word humble appear, okay, twice. And then continue in verse 16. Okay, the word humble again, three times. Okay, who fed you in the wilderness with manna. Okay, that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you to do you good, okay, in the end. So God has a plan. Now, talking about tests, any one of you do a love test before? Oh, yes. Okay, you love me or not? You love me, you don't love me, you love me, you don't love me. Take the rose, you love me, I love you, I don't love you, I love you, you love me, okay. And then, okay, then nothing left. Okay, now, what's the purpose of testing? Okay, so that you know what is good or not. Yes, all right. Now, almost everything that we have, or everything that you buy, you want to be tested, yes? When you buy a water, or somebody pass to you, yeah, have a picture there. Okay, love test. Okay, love test. Now it's a love test. Okay, now. Anything that you love, you probably need to test. Right now, you love water. Come here, pass you water. No label, nothing. Then you pass you, drink lah. No label or nothing. Oh. Will you drink? Because I say like that, you will not drink lah. But if your mother will pass to you, you just drink lah because there's a trust there. All right? Now, if somebody just pass you, oh, you will be wondering whether you should take it because no label, man. You don't know where it comes from, all right? Now, all the products that we have has all this liberty test, like what quality control and all those. When you buy medicine, they also, Kementerian Kesihatan also ask you look for that hologram sticker, okay, that is certified, right? Now, so I don't know how you buy things, you check. But I always recall the time when I was very young, when my mom goes to the market and buy clothes lah, buy one egg check until, okay. I think the shopkeeper must be in stress mode. So when buy clothes, okay, buy shirt. Oh, see, can see through. Oh, cannot. Okay, this one cannot buy. Then check the zip, How many of you do that? Okay, I'm talking about you, right? Zip. Oh, can. This one buy. Okay, now, smooth or not? Okay. Sometimes, if you grow up that way, he also rub on you when you buy things. Zip. Okay, now. Then you see all the sewing joint. Oh, this one cannot. Oh, can see through. Cannot. So, I'm saying that just help us remember that we almost test everything, okay, in life. But the thing is, do you test your heart? Do you test your heart that do you really love God? Okay, do you really, when we say love God, is that so? So in verse 2, when we read that, God is testing to know what is in our heart. Do you know that this testing is not for God to know? You think God don't know our heart? Huh? God knows our heart. But when God tests us, it's for us to find out what is this heart all about. All right, so the testing is to humble us. Because human nature is like this, when we have everything, the tendency is to be proud. I have ma, you don't have ma. I score ma, you don't score, you know, that kind of thing. So that is to test us. So when we achieve everything in life, or you have this intelligence is so great, do we forget God or not? So God is testing our heart. Not so much of Him wanting to know what is in our heart, but for us to know what is in our heart. All right? Now, Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, he will also reap. So in other words, don't let no man think that he can deceive, okay, the Lord, because God knows the very intents and thoughts of our heart. Okay, Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all else, beyond cure, who can understand it? So out of the heart, it births off issue of life. So in other words, okay, when we come to our heart, I mean, we have so many tests in life, right? School tests, English tests, Bahasa tests, Max tests, so many tests, all right? After that, you have today, I heard what? Psychometric tests, all right? Some of what? You have the PJ test. PJ is what? PE test. Okay. What else you have? So in the factory, you probably have what? Diagnostic test. When you buy your phone, wow, you come and pay. I do your diagnostic test first. When your phone got problem, you bring to the shop. Okay. Then you have quality test, benchmark test. Last time in chemistry, you have litmus test, now pH test. Quality control, you have endurance test. Yeah, you put the equipment into the hot chamber and go for one few hours to see whether this product still can survive or not. Have you seen those already now? Then, because this product will go to cold country, the product will be put in the fridge and they control the temperature, whether it still works, okay, when you go to winter time, okay, whether your phone still working or not. How many of you have this occasion when you put your phone on the dashboard? It was so hot. Because during night, your phone stopped. He put report there, okay, so he just shut down. And when you look, think about that, oh, your phone has gone. This one time I faced one because I play on a dashboard, it was so heavy, so hot. When I reached home, I quickly open the fridge and put in. Okay? And today, we have COVID tests. Antigen tests that we never heard about. All right, now just to let you know, everyone that serve here who leave their face mask, we still continue, okay, with the antigen test, okay, just to give you confidence that, okay, all those who are serving in front who say something on the stage with their unmasked, okay, they're all with their test, all right? So why God wants to test us? So that we can move forward from one point to another. But here we know God doing the test so that we know our heart and we learn to humble, okay, ourselves. You know, I'm doing my master in theology and missions. I'm now doing this paper on historical theology. You know, it's interesting during the early century. And it come to a point where Reformation take place. Martin Luther and all those, we have the Lutherans, we learn about Pietism, we learn about the Puritans and all those. You know, you come to a place where everyone that comes to the Lord, they baptize the child from infant, because it's like to make sure that you belong to this organization. So, or the church group, they baptize when they are very young. All right, now, so you come to a point that when they grow, everybody is a Lutheran, everybody is a believer, everybody is a Christian, whether you're Pietism or Protestant, everybody is one, everybody is water baptized, everybody has a certificate, but they don't live a life. For some, they don't live a life that shows, okay, they are really Christian. So we have philosophers, theologians, thinkers, you come to a point that they challenge this truth. How will I know that you are really an authentic Christian? Oh. So, of course, the issue about whether you should baptize, okay, an infant, okay, or not. So how do you know your faith is genuine? So that's where, okay, tests of life will come. When temptation comes, when fiery trials come, okay, that test, okay, will reveal, okay, not so much of how bad or how poorly you are, but again here, it's whether you make that change. Okay, where God stir your heart, all right, and you transform, okay, in your life. So the test is to help us to see where we are. When my son took part in athletic, so I said, when you take part in athletic, don't just run. Find out what is the school standard. 100 meters, how many seconds? 13 seconds? 14 seconds? 100 meters? 100 meters, huh? How many of you is a few? Oh, this Sue, man. Don't play, man. She can run. Okay, 100 meters. Okay, now. So, know that standard. What is, then next is what's the state level? Okay, let's school is 13 seconds. If the state level is 12 seconds, okay. World standard, boat, 9.5. I thought the Carl Lewis time already 9.3. No, 9.1. Okay? So, which means when we run 100 meters, we know where we stand, right? So, that's the Bible for us to know, okay, where, okay, we stand. In other words, when you come to a point that God is knowing that, hey, whatever things we're going through, God is there. God is leading us. Two, God is, remember that God is testing us. All right? Friends, in the church, we don't give you test paper, no. Every one of us have this test that God, okay, deal with us, okay, to review, okay, what is in our heart. Third one, that the Lord is providing you. Now, let's go back to that verse. Oh, this is interesting, all right? Now, where am I, huh? Okay, it says here, okay, and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word. Okay, so I'll come back to this. So now, let's talk about this. Now, God, in this case, give them manna. What's the meaning of manna? Or manna. So if you look at it, at the meaning is, what is it? Because when God sent manna, everybody, what is it? So their language is manna. What is it? Manna. Apa itu? All right, someday I'll remember this. How America got its name? Okay. When Chris goes to Columbus, joke lah. Go travel and then he found this land. So Marco Polo has come back and then with all his people from Hong Kong, he came back. So when Chris Columbus, what is that? Then all the Cantonese speaking say, America. Sorry. Okay, now here, so he said, manna, what is that, right? So in their language, what is that? So that name stake, so is the meaning of manna is, what is it that God that has supplied them? Friend, can you imagine the manna? What is this manna? I will say that this manna is the miracle bread of God to the people of Israel. Can you imagine this manna lasted for 40 years? Of course, it gets bored, lah. I don't know about you, eating the same thing over for 40 years. But again, You never hear about heart attack. You never hear about diabetes. You never hear about high blood pressure, stroke. All those, this miracle bread that God has given them to keep them healthy, strong. They have all the vitamins, whatever that they needed. The man. So that's why when you go to Middle East, right? Wow, bread is number one, man. Wow, everywhere you go, they serve you bread. Breakfast is social bread. Before your lunch, serve you bread. And the bread will just come. All kind of sizes and all kind of very tasteful. I know you're hungry now. So you see, Exodus 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven. And for you and the people shall go out and gather the day, portion every day, I may test them. See? And whether they will walk in my law or not, and on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So their role is to go and collect daily. So can you imagine every day? In other words, they don't have to work. They just have to, early morning, open the door, if they have a door, okay, or live in tents, right? Go out and collect. That is their work. Collect manna back. You have five children, bring back five. Get to feed. So do you know, each time when they step out, do you know that's a test of faith that God will provide? God promised for them to receive, and they go and bring back. All right? Are they going to have doubt, right? Oh, yo, today's same one. Oh, yo, today no, got enough or not. How many of us live like that? All right? So they know, they go up, God's going to provide for us. There's no lack. There's a step of faith, a step of trust that they go out to receive, okay, the manna from God. So likewise for us. And you think about, hey, God is leading us. God is providing for us. God is testing us. So each time it's a test of faith that you go out, that you believing, still believing God's word, still believing it's His promise that you go out and receive. All right? So when did the manna stop? The wilderness, right? Now, the manna stopped in Joshua chapter 5. And the day after Passover, on the very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased that day after they ate the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate the fruit of the land of the Canaan that year. So they come to a place, they enter. Whoa, land of milk and honey. So that's where they make their own ready, all right? Because that's how God prepared them. And when the first day, when they ate of the fruit of the land, God stopped because God is leading them, you know, and testing them. And now, okay, they can produce on their own. So can you see here, God calls the children, okay, to be hungry so that they know that God is going to feed them. If you are full, you're not going to eat, right? If you are full, do you go for a buffet at E&O? So full, really, you're going to go for a buffet. Cannot, right? So it's when you are hungry. Hungry for God. Not so much of the food. It's not about the food, but hungry for God. Hungry for His word. So when you're hungry for the word, you want more. And here God is reminding us, okay, that we be hungry for God's word. The second one is where hungry for the produce of the land, okay, which is the manna, which is God called us to be hungry. Why? Because God is telling us that we don't feed on the bread alone. Now, here on to, time's catching up. Here is one thing I want you all to see, all right, now. When we first read this, what comes to your mind? That man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That was a time in Jesus' temptation, in the wilderness. The very word that Jesus spoke came from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So the account of Jesus in the wilderness, Satan came and tempted Jesus to turn the stone to bread. Yes, all right? Should I put the pandesal down? Okay, now, anyway. Hot dog bun. Okay, now. That is in chapter 4. Just now was Deuteronomy. Now is chapter 4. Chapter 4. This is where, during the fasting for 40 days, friends, 40 days, 40 nights, and the tempter came and said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaf of bread. But He answered, it's written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you see something here? There's a pattern here. One, the Israel is strong. Israel were individualness for how many days? 40 years. Otherwise, you're going to help me times 40, times 365. Right? Okay, 40 years. Jesus, 40 years. Now, both were in wilderness and wilderness. What's the difference? One, depending on bread from heaven, manna. Here, Jesus was fasting for 40 days, 40 nights. What he depend on? It's still the bread, but not the physical bread, but was the word of the Lord. So that's why when you read Deuteronomy and now, it makes sense now, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth. So when you overcome temptation, you overcome trials in life, still the word of God. Okay? That makes strong, make who, okay, you are. So Jesus overcame the devil's temptation. It's not Jesus' temptation. overcame Jesus' temptation. So for all of us, in this life, your workplace, your family, surrounding, your relationship, your finances, what does it stand? What is your foundation? All right, so as I close, keep Dr. Isaac, right now, in summary, allow me to read this. So which means you come to a place, you got to ask yourself, who do you depend? Who do you depend to lead you? Who do you depend when it comes to testing of life? When you are lack, do you know who's the one who is providing for you? Who is your master? Who is your Lord and Savior? So in summary, before the Israelites entered the promised land, God reminded them a time they were led astray. How God humbled them, how he put them in place where there was no one to depend but only God. God did not test the hearts of men to reveal what's already inside, but God tested the people so that they may know the condition of their heart. When abundance comes, pride can easily set in our heart. But when you start thinking through all the talents that you have, all the achievement that you have, and things that you have done, okay, with your hands that you gain wealth, forget not how God has led you, how God has tested you, how God has provided for you. Amen. I'm going to pray, huh? I want to say this. God, a charge to remember the Lord. The Lord is leading you through hard times, if there is. At the same time, testing come, but it's not all the time. There's an exam. You have a schedule for exam. But ours, sometimes you just don't know when. But it's only sometime, not all the time. Testing comes in some time. But let's remember, it's God that provides you all the time. Father God, I want to commit all of us into your hands. Thank you, Lord, for exploring and expounding, okay, Deuteronomy chapter 8, to understand, Lord, why do you say that it is you who give us the ability to produce wealth? Today, as we look at that, Lord, it's you who lead us in all hard times. We know, like, you lead us in all times, but we know that in our worst hard time, sometimes we do not see you, but it's you, Lord. You're still there, okay, for each and every one of us. Thank God, Lord, that testing don't come all the time. But when we go through that sometime, but we know, Lord, that you're holding our hands and we are to trust your word. We're going to believe in your word and you're providing all at all times because you are faithful. You are a God that is faithful and bless each and every one. Last week, we heard about 1,000 generations because you are faithful and your faithfulness extends to the heavens and never comes to an end. I commit all of us in your hands that we take this posture. We trust you, we love you, we serve you, we honor you, and fulfill what God has called us to do in our church, that is to make disciples. In Jesus' name I pray, everyone say, Amen. Amen. All right, give Jesus a big hand.